Warning, the following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Makerspace Charlotte, holy moly.
Holy moly, Batman.
Brand new podcasting studio. This is exciting, isn't it?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, we've got headphones, microphones. We don't know what to do.
We're not even to episode 200 yet, and we're already up and running. We're on episode 196, just a few weeks away.
We have so much equipment, I don't know if we can afford to get to episode 200 now.
No,
so.
We better get to episode 200 because we have so much equipment that I've bought.
Unfortunately, due to budgetary constraints, we're going to have to move everything to SoundCloud only. Sorry about that, folks.
We'll be back on our iPhones next week.
we have to hawk our iPhones.
Speak for yourself.
Oh,
there's some Star Wars action figures that may be posted on the virtual marketplace.
No,
check
ma'am.
It out. So episode 196, we are here with Makerspace Charlotte, and
yes,
we're joined by Benjamin Gotti and Steve Gray.
Welcome.
Very good.
Wow, hey. I got them both right on the first try. Don't ask me what their website address is, though. But
it's
makerspacecharlotte.org.
.org? Excellent.
It's always got to be a wise
Thank
guy
you guys
over
for being
there.
Our guinea pigs for the first studio recording. They have suffered through
I know.
A couple takes.
So we're going to go right into our big question of the day. So
Whoa.
I'm going to give each of you a chance to think about this, but not too long. If you had five things that you could put into your apocalypse bug out bag, what five things would you grab and put in there? Or do you already have one already? I don't know.
I
We've
can't
thought
wait
about
this
question for a long time, actually.
Ah.
It comes up repeatedly in this context. And we thought about even putting together like a list of 100 things you would want society to save.
Right.
You know, one of the ones that I'm thinking of, I don't know why, but a Tesla coil is an amazing thing. And if society ended or society was really, really struggling post-apocalyptically.
As opposed to now? No.
Like, the Tesla coil is a radio, right? It's the first radio. And from there, you can kind of build out the things you need to communicate and share the fact that you exist. And it's really an amazing little device. So you need a little infrastructure probably to light it up. But
okay.
Tesla coil's
number one. Steve, what would number two be?
Probably the CRC handbook of scientific formulas and information. I know maybe it's a boring answer, but
I think they would survive longer than us.
I think so. Right.
You are going to put some food in there somewhere, though, right?
No, what I would put in there.
Number three, Benjamin.
Right. is a microscope so that our future selves could realize
So you're just planning to die.
It's not the lions, the tigers, and the bears that are killing you. It's these tiny little things that you can't see. and understanding that it's microbes and viruses and bacteria that are really the problem, I think, has been a really important discovery that if we forgot it, it would mean going back really just to a different way of life, not drinking water and getting cholera and not knowing why and imagining where sickness comes from or where babies come from and having no clue, right? Like the fact that things are small matter a lot, I think that would be another thing I'd put into the pie.
Yeah, that was Richard Feynman was asked the question if he had to leave one sentence behind that he would describe for all of the developments of humankind, and the thrust of his sentence was to promote the idea that the world's made of atoms and molecules, and that was leave something as a guidepost for future people to look for that and understand the world from that point of view, is to reboot the process of the science of scientific discovery.
So, but if you weren't going to die,
if I wasn't,
if you were going to try to survive. I mean, the Tesla coil, I think, would still help with the survival, because if you could build the radio, then you could communicate. You could find out what was going on. And the CRC manual may or may not help with that. And the microscope may help with that. But I'm thinking that, you know, maybe a weapon, maybe a food gathering device or a water purification device.
Yeah, so I you know, the from the basic needs, yeah, like, you know, air, water, and then food. So, yeah, I think the water purification, from that point of view, if we're going all Hunger Games.
We are. Yeah, okay. We're Hunger going Games, Hunger are, Games. Okay. Yeah.
I'll go with the water purification for sure.
So Benjamin, you've got the last item in your hand.
Oh, boy.
What do you choose? So you've got a water purification, you got a CRC handbook, you've got a Tesla coil, and you've got a microscope. What's the last thing that you're going to put in that bag before you head out the door?
So I think a fishing pole might be a pretty good thing.
Yeah, I could do that. I could see that. Yeah. And then a microscope to see whether or not it's like
infected
with cholera or something like that. Okay. So
can I just say, this is the most thoughtful five items we've ever done.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you guys have definitely won.
I like, really? Well, okay. I like the girl that thought she was going to take cases and cases of water and canned food in her backpack. I'm like, right. You would die two steps out the door because you're not going to be able to carry it. But that's okay. We'll let you do that.
Directly from Costco to the...
to death.
To death, yes.
Have you seen The Last Man on Earth?
Yes.
Yes.
That concept. I love that show. And then they're running out of food. You know, the 3 years expiration date. And
the gas is going bad.
Right, yeah.
Thank you for watching that show. I think nobody has ever watched that other than me.
Made a special warm spot in Matt's heart.
Yes. So the sixth item is a pot.
Oh.
Because if you have a bonus pot, item. You can solve bonus a lot item. Of problems if you have
and
a pot.
And a chicken in every pot, and a pot, right. A little can, pot in every chicken.
You can always build a fire, but if you have a pot, you can boil water, you can cook food.
And you can always carry the book and the microscope in the pot.
You can, but you know, a pot is a hard thing to come by if you don't have one.
That's true.
Like the infrastructure you have to stand up in order to produce a pot.
Yeah,
that's pretty tricky. Ooh, yeah. You need some clay. Maybe build a fire. Maybe you can get a ceramic pot going.
Maybe.
But
yeah.
You really got to know what you're doing.
The
pot is handy.
All right. Well, we will give you six just because we like it. So Makerspace Charlotte, you guys have been around since 2014, right?
June 2014, yep.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what Makerspace Charlotte is and what we should know about you.
Makerspace Charlotte is a community workshop. We invite the community in to make things and to learn things by using their hands, pretty much. It's an alternative to a library where you're learning by communicating ideas. It's primarily where you learn things that can only be passed on by doing. This is kind of an example. These are Lichtenberg images on this piece of wood, and they're made by applying super high voltages to the wood, which causes it to fire and burn and smoke and fire. You can't really describe this in
just
a book.
Just tap the wood just so people... There we go. That's actual wood.
There's actual wood here,
you
folks.
Can use words to describe the process, but absent doing it, there's just no way of conveying to the next generation what this is and how it's done.
I appreciate that you didn't bring in the high electric voltage into our brand new equipment in studio. But
he proposed it. He thought,
oh, honest, that was the plan.
Yeah, no.
Right. So does that mean the fire-breathing dragon robot is out as well?
Oh, come on.
Real fire?
We can do that in the kitchen, and we'll video it.
Okay, we'll video it. And we'll need to take pictures of the wood, because that's actually
quite beautiful.
We will.
The wood is beautiful. It actually looks like the way that it looks like a Japanese bonsai tree kind of painting. And at first, I actually thought it was the Japanese art of burning wood for preservation. You know, it's a way of kind of, instead of painting wood, you can do that burning technique. But, it's beautiful.
Well, I would, to answer your question, I would describe Makerspace Charlotte, the way I introduce people, it's kind of like a gym membership. But instead of workout equipment, we have shop tools, electronic bench equipment, a metal shop, and stuff like that. So as you can come in, we have stuff that maybe you don't have enough room for it in your garage.
Right.
Or you don't want to, you know, commit $20,000 to a wood shop if you don't know how to use any wood equipment. So that's the kind of resources that we have in the space. And then on top of that, we have, as Ben mentioned, the community of members. So people come from a wide variety of backgrounds. We have people that are, you know, musicians, mechanical engineers, teachers, homemakers. They come with a wide variety of experiences and interests, and they come into the community with their expertise. And sometimes we have people come in, they want to work on a project. They're not sure how to do it, or they have one piece, but they can draw on, oh, there's a mechanical engineer. That they can help me develop the structure there. I'll have someone knows how to do some programming, and I'll do, you know, I'm making a costume, so I'll do, you know, the sewing and the fabrication. Then the electrical engineer will put in, you know, help me put in the electronics and EL wire or whatever. And so that kind of resource, so it's kind of acts as a means of inspiration. So you like people hear your idea, it's like, oh, that's really cool. Can I help out? Or you can be inspired by seeing what other people are working on. So the community is a huge part of what we do. And our members, like, that's, you know, the asset I appreciate the most about this space is our members, because it's a very warm, friendly environment. Like, you may have a idea that's off the wall, but you come in there and it's like, yeah, that's all right. That's pretty cool. I didn't think about that. And, you know, let's make it happen kind of thing.
How big is the space?
We've recently moved, about 4 months ago, we moved into space, or 5 months coming up, 2,700 square feet.
Okay,
and when we first moved into it from our previous space, it was like empty. And then we managed to fill it through donations, and now we're busting in the seams, and we're looking to see if we can expand like 7,500 to 10,000 square feet.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, there was a maker space up in Boston, the Artisans Asylum. They went from 1,000 square feet to 40,000 in the span of 2.5 years.
Wow.
So so that's a benchmark that we've been around 4 years, but we'd like to get on that growth curve if we can.
So do you do classes, or is it just like an idea collective where you just walk in and you kind of like?
We do classes. One of the things we found people come in is like, I like the makerspace concept, but A, I don't know how to use the tools. And then even if they know how to use the tools, they're not sure what to build. So yes, we do offer classes. You can go to our website, makerspacecharlotte.org. There's a link for meetups, and there we have the classes on there. We teach, you know, welding, how to use, you know, the equipment in our wood shop. We're looking at setting up learning how to sew, and then project classes based on that.
Oh, neat.
And, you know, how to use the laser cutter. Ben teaches the class with the fire-breathing dragon robot, something we're developing. And a lot of these is a wide variety of skills, like learning how to solder, and then the laser cutter for cutting the wood. Then you're doing the electronics and stuff like that. Ben is really, you know, he's the one that's generating a lot of these ideas.
I know one of the classes that you're offering tonight is how to build a guitar. So
correct.
My goodness. Yeah. Wow.
Right. We have some guitar kits, and we're working with the wood shop. And also with this imaging technique to create electric guitars with Lichtenberg images.
Oh, that would be cool.
Cool.
Wow.
That would be pretty fun.
Absolutely.
Just last night, we got our 3D X-Carve working. Okay. So now we'd be able to cut your own guitar bodies out.
We're
working on that. We will have the capability to do that. So you can design your own funky shape and everything. And the pickups go in, and it just, you press go, and it goes and cuts it for you. As the first step. Yeah.
So do you bring the materials for something like that for a class, or you pay a certain amount so it's included, or how does it usually work?
We, Makerspace, because it's a nonprofit, does get donations of materials.
Okay.
For materials that we don't have donated, then we find a way to get them. The wood, we've purchased this, but we get a pretty reasonable price because of the volume and various things. But, you know, we're always looking for donations. This, by the way, is a series of beer cans, and it's been melted down into a skull. So this is a 3D printed form. It was buried in sand like this, face down, and then the beer cans were heated up and poured over into the shape that was a piece of plastic that was 3D printed. So you can...
Wow, yeah.
You can see this. It's actually quite...
Whoa, and he's handing around a... probably like a kiwi-shaped skull. It's about the size of a... Okay, heavy, I was trying... Yeah.
Of a mandarin. So
it's the size of a mandarin. She talks with her hand, so...
Yes. But yeah, so it's really pretty cool. And it's pretty impressive. So it looks like the front of a skull head. It's 3D...
I don't know if you like skulls.
I know. Yeah. Kind of her obsession. But yeah, so we'll definitely post some pictures of some of the stuff. So why did you start it?
There's five of us founded the place. We have different motivations. We used to be members of Hackerspace many years ago, and it was a wonderful organization. And then a new board came in and decided to ban anyone from under 18 being on the premises. And some of the people who founded the place had children. And so we said we could fight them, and who knows, or we could create our own space.
Yeah.
And so we just did that. And we
Why nobody under 18? Do you know?
It's a common failure mode for makerspaces that, you know, some of the members, like maybe they don't want to watch their language or their content, or they feel the kids are being kids and running. But the kids that come to our space, they're very serious. They're there to learn. And that's why I do the makerspace, why I helped found it. I would have killed for something like this as a kid. You're resourced with all these tools and this expertise, and you're doing real technology. Like we're doing a class last night. We had TJ Bot using a Raspberry Pi, and we had kids that they built this robot that they had a Twitter feed. It would go. They set up a Twitter feed, and then they put in some subject, and then it would collect data and do a sentiment analysis on it. And it was like if it was happy, the LED would turn like red or something like that. If it was angry, it would turn blue. And this is something like, you know, second graders were doing, putting together this kit.
Oh my goodness.
You know, connecting to the IBM Watson service and everything like that. So that kind of thing. We had one father there was with his daughter. And think about that. She had one-on-one time with her dad. He was there working exclusively with her on this project. He wasn't checking sports scores checking email or something like that. And I just imagine in the future she's going to see that TJ bot sitting on her shelf somewhere and remember like those 8 wonderful weeks she spent with her dad building this project. This thing, it'll be doing voice recognition, text to speech, and picture recognition and stuff like that when it's done. And yeah, we had people who are near retirement working on this project to young kids like in the second grade.
That's really cool. I was wondering how young you get people or how young children.
Our youngest maker was 2.5 years old. He came in and he would just pound nails into wood. He was the cutest kid. Yeah. All the women were just like, I'll look after him. I'll look after him. Take care of you. He's a very charming young man.
Oh. So what hours does this facility run? And how would somebody, is there a membership fee or?
Yes, we basically offer kind of a family plan, if you will, $50 a month. And excuse me. You get key holder access. We're all volunteer run, so we don't have staffing. In the future, we'd like to have that, someone on site to give guidance or instruction.
Right.
We don't have that, but you can come in and use the space as much as you want. Again, we're looking for people that like respect our equipment and tools as a membership criteria, because we're not there to supervise. We want people that we can trust will use the tools in the safe and intended manner, if you will. It's to the to your members of your immediate family, and we'll work with you. Like if you're a student or you're between jobs or something like that, we'll find alternative ways that you can be a member of the space, because we really want you to. We're there. Part of our mission is to promote making, and we want to, support that in any way we can. So, and we do that. We have a number of members that contribute in other ways to make the space a great experience for everyone.
I think this is so important, because when I was in junior high, I'm older, but we actually had shop class.
Right, yeah.
And most of the kids, I didn't really think I was going to enjoy it, but I really enjoyed it. And usually it was, making a birdhouse or something like this. Yeah. Like our instructor was Mr. Payne. I'm not kidding you.
Right.
And he had part of a finger missing on it. Swear to gosh. But he really taught us how to, like you're saying, respect the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught us, hey, it's dangerous, but there's nothing to really fear. Just be careful and take it a little slow and don't get distracted. Of course, we didn't have cell phones back then. But I think that's really important, because now the funding is just not there for these programs. And then
correct.
Also, a lot of the tradesmen have kind of, that knowledge is kind of gone. So this is really, I think this is really important.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. The history of shop class is a little sketchy. Makerspaces all around the world are a little different than shop. Shop is generally, like you say, hammering boards together. And while we do have wood, and we generally do try to do projects that really combine disciplines. So something from the metal shop, something from the wood shop, and maybe some electronics holding it all together.
Yeah.
That's a really exciting project. But Makerspaces try to bring some of those newer technologies into that shop environment. Yeah. But you're right. The shop, in particular in Charlotte, Charlotte Latin School has evolved from their shop program up to a Makerspace almost in a straight line.
Excellent.
But you wouldn't confuse what you see there now with a shop class.
It's like a
room of 3D printers, 3040 3D printers and laser cutters, and you won't find that radial arm saw anymore. So it has evolved, right? Yeah. But it definitely is the same need. It's the same environment. It's the same group of people.
And you're making things you want to make, which I think
is wonderful. That's different. But makerspaces are in some ways a way to pay it forward.
Sure.
So as it's really kind of where the geek community does its charity, if you will. So we have outreach to the community in a variety of ways. We're going to be in several different venues and at UNCC's science events, you know, throughout the year, and various things. Participate in those. We'll shoot rockets and various things. We also have a program that for quadriplegics that allows, that enables them with some of this new speaking technology to do things that they have not been able to do in the past. Over Christmas, we installed an electric blanket that actually runs water through it, and it can heat or cool.
Oh my goodness.
And it's controlled by Alexa. So with the voice, the quadriplegic can now change the temperature in their bed, which,
wow,
if you think about it, is a pretty simple thing to do for most people. But if at night you get hot and you can't move the blankets even 2 inches,
right,
it can become difficult to sleep. So this is just our first example, but this is one of the ways that we can
that's
be a
amazing.
Community organized.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking a little bit more advanced than maybe shop class.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
By its nature, it's a little bit.
But just the ability to be creative, I think, is what Starnsler was trying to capture, because a lot of that creativity, music programs and different kinds of non-book learning classes are going away because the funding's not there.
Right.
So the fact that even if you missed it in school, if you you have a chance to learn now from other individuals, I think that's amazing.
There's another challenge that school-based shop classes present. One is, of course, they're not there anymore, largely because of insurance.
Yeah.
There are some availability in college. So both CPCC and UNCC have some of these capabilities. But what we're finding is that students are not free, even in college, to pursue projects of their passion or of their interest. And also, they can only stay in college for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And once they leave college, they're thrown out into a world that no longer has these capabilities. So if they don't have a place to go where they can have their tools, you know, we were talking the other day about how a pianist in a room with no piano isn't a pianist.
Right.
If you're an engineer and you have no access to tools, you're not an engineer. You might be a draftsman or something, right? But I mean, you need tools to do your to be who you are, in a sense, right? So tools are really fundamental, and so they're fundamental enough that in some ways we think of Homo sapiens as being the tool maker, right? Like it's really part of our identity as a species that we have access to tools. So in many ways we're the library for tools. Right, we make sure that everybody in the community has access to tools.
No, that's awesome.
It's very exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I think of is like exactly the college model. Like when you leave, what do you do?
Right.
This is the answer. And we're looking, like when I was in school, we'd have visiting scientists come in and give a talk or stuff like that. We'd like to set that up as the makerspace as well, as a resource that it's a lifelong learning. Someone put together a small forum on tiny houses. A lot of people working it, they're running into challenges, they're having successes and whatnot. And that just seems like a topic, like, man, I'd love to hear some people practicing this for a couple hours. Tell me what's going on with that. Or like blockchain. It's all the rage with Bitcoin and whatnot. We have some members that are interested in putting a talk on a presentation. Just so this whole life learning concept is something I think the makerspace is a great place to support. Also, there are a lot of meetup groups in the area. They get together and they meet at a Starbucks, right? and they, you know, painting or read a book or whatever it is, and it's like, why not come to the makerspace and use our facilities? You know, you have a permanent base for the project you're working on. So we have one of our members, she's part of a painting group, and that's what they came in last weekend and said, oh, this is awesome. We'd like to come here every month. It's like, perfect. We'll let you put your, we'll give you a shelf for your supplies, and you can come in and hold your meetup here. And that kind of expands. Like, you know, we bring in, bring new members into the space to experience it. And maybe they sign on to become members. And it enriches the experience for our members. Like, oh, now there's a group that comes in and will teach different painting techniques. Pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
So, so it's one of those things as we grow and we have more members and become part. And, I, you know, it just gets better. Your values and membership increases. And so people are interested and want to contact us and say, please, you know, go to our website, reach out to us.
That's a wonderful community. We're happy to talk.
Because, yeah, there's a need. And making, you know, what is making? And I think it's, you know, in all its forms. Like you could say making food. You know, right now we can't support that. But down the road, why not? You know, you know, textiles, pottery, jewelry, you name it. You know, yeah, the only standard we have is it's safe, legal, and ethical. You know, and it's really
legal and ethical. Right.
I was going to say, I don't know about the safe. He was going to bring electricity and
mostly, yeah, reasonably safe.
Right. Yeah, might tinge your hair with the fire breathing dragon, but
it'll grow back. It's no big deal. Exactly. Yeah. So thank you guys so much for coming out today. I really appreciated you guys talking a little bit about it. So just remind our listeners where they can find Makerspace Charlotte on the interwebs. So
you can go to makerspacecharlotte.org. I'd encourage you to, there's a meetup button, sign up there, put it on the mailing list, and so you'll get our one class announcements.
Yes. And literally, I mean, I've been on there for a couple of weeks just because that's how Ben and I connected. But literally you get a new announcement of a class almost every day. So there's, if you can't find something, it's your own fault.
Thanks so much for having us. In closing, I'd like just to remind your listeners that Charlotte really does need a makerspace. It needs a tech community. We've just been through the Amazon headquarter hunt. And, you know, we can do better. The tech community needs to be stronger. That's the result, which means that Charlotte proper needs to step up and really support its tech community. And a makerspace, Charlotte is certainly one of the places that it can lean forward and really grow its tech community. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and component. Don't say that it's not here because Makerspace Charlotte is here. So
we are here, but we need
help. I'm saying as an individual, if an individual says, well, I can't learn how to do technology, well, yeah, you can. Oh, yeah. I can't learn how to do, well, there's a Makerspace Charlotte, go find out, and you can.
Yeah.
And if you can't afford the $50 a month right away, we'll figure it out, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
So, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I hope you'll keep us posted on anything exciting. If you move new locations and stuff like that, please let us know.
Okay, we'll do.
All right. And we'll take some posters of some cool pictures. maybe we'll blow it up into a poster. We need more art in this place.
We're going to make Makerspace Charlotte and make it, but not posters.
But we'll post a couple pictures of some of the stuff so you can see how cool it is. Yeah. And we hope you'll check it out. Please let us know if you do, too. And maybe show us what you've made at Makerspace Charlotte. We'd love to see it. Guardians of the Geekery, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.